Well, good morning, everyone. How are you today? Some of y'all are still asleep. How are you today? There's a lot of you. There is a lot of you. I'm proud of us for sticking it out. Like Rachel said, we want to just be in prayer for those that are affected by the hurricane, and we definitely got cleared of that, but it's good to see you today. Turn to your neighbor and say, good morning. Turn to your other neighbor and say, how are you today? We do this in kids, and if you haven't met me yet, my name is Deanna, and I have the honor of working here at Brave, and I get to oversee all children's ministries with a focus on our first through fifth grade class. So you guys are not the same height or age as the people that I'm used to, but I'm really thankful that I get to be here with you today. I was going to mention something about the worship team. Yes, Andrews and the team work so hard every single week. Can we just give them a round of applause? That was beautiful. Yes, thank you guys. A little bit about me. I came on to staff at Brave just about a year and a half ago, and this year I became full-time at Brave. I grew up in a very loud and proud Italian family. I have three siblings, and there's six of us total. And as I was growing up, you know, I was closer to one of my siblings because we're closer in age. His name is Dana. He's actually here today. Everyone say, hey, Dana. He's visiting. But we were always getting into trouble. And if you have siblings, does anyone have siblings? Yeah, you know that growing up with siblings is fun, but it can also be the worst thing ever because on one day you guys are best friends and the next day you are not. And you should stay as far from one another as possible. And as Dana and I were growing up, we would play, you know, play random games. We would make up our own games, and some of these games were safe. Some of them weren't so safe. Some of them mom loved. Some of them mom told us, don't ever play that again. And as we were growing up, I'm sure for the parents in the room, you can agree with this. You have a million toys. Why aren't your kids playing with them, right? Does anyone feel that way, parents? You have a million toys. You even have a room dedicated to toys. And yet they're playing made-up games and getting bruises and cuts. And, you know, so one of the games that Dana and I love to play was we love to just wrestle. And I always had the upper hand because I was older and stronger. And so we were safe, though, with our wrestling matches. We made sure to do them in the basement where we had carpet. We didn't do them on our wood floors. I grew up in New Hampshire, so there's like three stories in every house, and basements exist because it's not the swamp of Florida. And so we were always taking safety precautions to make sure that we were in the basement where there was carpet. And, you know, we would wrestle, and I would win every single time until one day that I didn't. And I obviously was humiliated. I'm like, this is my younger brother. Why did he just win this round? We're doing a rematch, and he won again. And that was the day that I realized that he'd become stronger than me. And losing was the worst, not only because I lost, but because it was to my younger brother. Everyone say boo. We can all agree that losing is not fun, right? We don't wake up every single day and think, man, I hope I lose today. Does anybody wake up and want to lose? No one? Anyone? I hope I lose today. Yeah, so losing isn't a part of our desire each day. And we can all agree that losing keeps us and makes us feel defeated, makes us feel embarrassed. And in that moment, I felt a lot of those things. Why did my brother just win? And we haven't wrestled since then. But if you want, Dana, while you're here this week, we can rematch. Sound good? Not going to do that. Losing is not a natural born desire. And I think that what we have to realize is we've been in this series called Moving Forward, The Life of a Disciple. And Pastor Ricky has been talking about what it means to be a disciple. We've talked a lot about what characteristics a disciple would have. And losing is actually one that Jesus says you have to have in order to be a disciple. And you're probably thinking, Deanna, have you lost your marbles? Losing is a characteristic. Jesus actually tells us that in order to be a disciple, we have to be willing to lose. And in a sense, he tells us you have to choose to lose. And so today we're going to be focusing on what that means. What does it mean to lose? Why does Jesus ask us to lose? So today we're going to be focusing on the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 through 26. We'll be looking at those verses and to give you some context of what this is, where the story takes place. This is a place and time where Jesus is gathered with some of his closest friends, his disciples. And this is right before Jesus goes to the cross. So he gathers them all together and he begins to share with them the terrible things that were about to happen. Can you imagine if you knew something bad was going to happen to you and you gathered 12 of your closest friends and you're like, in detail, this, these are going to happen to me in a couple of days. Can you imagine what it would be like to be on the other end of that and hear it? Anyone? That'd be crazy, right? Terrible. Yeah. So Jesus prepares them, though. And he tells them all the terrible things were going to happen to him in what we're reading today. So before we get started, I want to pray because I believe that God's words are so much better than mine. And I want us just to all open our hearts to receive what he has to speak because I know he has something for each of you today. Sound good? All right, let's pray. God, I just thank you for every single person here. And I thank you that you are so good and you are with us and your presence is in this room. I pray over the next 30 minutes that your word would be spoken, the word that you've given to me for your people. I just pray for their hearts that they would receive it and you would allow me to speak your word. You would give me clarity and help me to help them to understand what it means to be a disciple. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's read Matthew 16, verse 21. It says here, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Verse 22 says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Then Jesus said to his disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? So Jesus talks about here a couple of things, and I want us to go through each verse so I can help us all understand what it means to be a disciple. What does it mean when Jesus says you have to lose? You have to lose, you have to lose. So in verse 21, it says, Jesus predicts his death. He's talking about when he's going to go to the cross, and he tells them, I'm going to be killed, but on the third day I'll be raised to life. Now, in verse 22, Peter seems to be alarmed, right? He seems to be taken back. And imagine you're the friend on the other side. You're going, no, that can't happen to you. So he says, never, Lord, that shall never happen to you. You are the Son of God, the Messiah. Why would you go to the cross? He's thinking, why would that have to happen? And Jesus, I think, probably catches Peter by surprise here. He shuts him down. And he says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Now, Jesus tells Peter, you don't have your mind set on the things of God. You're not thinking in the way that I need you to think. He's saying, I need you to think a certain way and you're not doing it. And he actually rebukes him. He says, get behind me, Satan, because he's casting out a lie. Basically, he's referring to Peter and saying, you're not with it. You're not in tune. You don't know. Shuts him down. He says, you're a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. You don't have your mind set on the things of God. Now, verse 24 is one of the verses that we're going to be talking about in depth today. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple should deny himself. Now, to deny himself, to deny yourself, it means to simply forget oneself, to forget about your own interests, your own needs, your own wants, and to put those things down. And then at the end of this verse, it talks about taking up your cross. What does it mean to take up your cross? Jesus explains, to take up one's cross is basically to take upon something to carry that's been raised up to bear, but it's not Christ's cross, it's our own individual cross. And there's while I was studying this week, I found this quote that I thought helped summarize what it means to take up our cross. What does it mean to take up our cross? And it says, in Jesus' day, a cross wasn't just a symbol of pain and suffering. It was mainly a symbol of death. Now, what Jesus was telling them, his disciples, is that they needed to put to death their own plans and desires and then turn their lives over to him to do his will every single day. What is your cross? What requires sacrifice from you is a question I want to ask. What has God given you, each one of you, to carry? Because each one of us will carry something different. Now, maybe your cross is to lead your family to the Lord. Maybe it's raising up your children in a house that knows that God loves them and cares for them. Maybe your cross is serving and committing your life to ministry. Maybe your cross is to simply be able to tell people about Jesus. What is your cross? I don't know yours, but I know mine. Maybe it's waking up early. Maybe it's sacrificing time. Maybe it's saying no to Instagram at 8 a.m. and not scrolling through Instagram, but actually reading and opening your day with God's word. That's one of my struggles. I know that that's where I need to start, right? Now, we know that following Jesus and being a disciple of him means we're giving something up. It doesn't mean we get to follow our own way anymore. What is your cross? Now, last week, Pastor Ricky told us that being a disciple would be uncomfortable, right? And as I was preparing for the message this week, I was struggling a bit, to be honest. I have had more time in the past to prepare messages than this week. And so I was praying and I kept asking, you know, God, show me what to speak. Show me what it is that you would speak. And a couple of times during the week, I'd wake up at 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. And if you're like me, that's a little bit too early. But I knew that God was speaking, and so I would write in my notes what, you know, I had to add to the message. And one morning I woke up at 6 a.m. The next day I went back and thought, what did I write? You know, what did I write that early? What was that? But I think it was just to support what Pastor Ricky had told us last week. And I think it's just the realization that to be a disciple means we're going to be uncomfortable. And the line that I wrote was, very rarely will you grow when you are comfortable. Very rarely will you grow when you're comfortable. It normally takes uncomfort for you to grow because it's stretching you and it's growing you and it's not keeping you where you are. And it's a lot easier to stay in that recliner, right? It's a lot easier to stay, kick back, relax. But to actually get out of it means we have to grow, right? And that's hard. That was what I wanted to share with you. To be uncomfortable means to grow. Now we're going to continue to verse 24. Now, the definition of follow me means to join as a disciple, to become or be his disciple. So to follow the Lord means to be like him, to follow the ways. And the way that we can know who he is by his word, reading the instructions. That was a couple weeks ago, if you remember that message. Reading the instructions, reading his word, following him means to be like him, to exemplify the characteristics that Jesus did, like loving people and caring for them and teaching them the truth of God's word. Now, in verse 25, it says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Now, if I could summarize and I could just narrow down to one verse for this entire message, it would be verse 25. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Why does Jesus want us to lose? Why is it that we have to lose to be a disciple of him? What does it mean to lose our life? Now we're going to start with the beginning of this where it says to hang on to your life. Maybe you have wanted to work at a certain place, and maybe you wanted to live in a certain town, and maybe you've held on for dear life to what you wanted. But Jesus tells us here that if we hang on to our life, we're actually going to lose it. Now, to hang on to your life simply means to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. Are any of you like me? You want to keep your life safe. You don't want to go where it's uncomfortable. You don't want to step out. You want to stay in that recliner. But Jesus tells us, do not hang on to your life. You don't need to keep it safe. Saying yes to him means saying no to safety, but saying yes to his protection, which is better than our own. So he says, if you want to hang on to your life, you'll actually lose it. To hang on means to keep safe. Now, the other end of that, we're going to come back to. But I'm sure there's been a time in your life where God has said to do something that didn't make sense. Why, God? Why would I move there? Why would I say no to that job? Why would I say yes to this? I think there's a time in all of our lives where we can look back and see where God asked us to do something that didn't make sense. Now, maybe it was to pack up your whole house and move to Odessa. Or maybe it was to say no to a job or yes to one job. Now, the truth is, as we follow Jesus and as we become his disciple, he's going to ask us to do things that look a lot like letting go of our lives, letting go and losing what we want. About a year ago, I was hired at a coffee shop, and I love coffee. I was so excited to work at this shop. I was excited to learn the craft of coffee. I was excited because I got to work with young adults. I thought, this is going to be great. People were doing Bible studies in the coffee shop. I was meeting new people. It was awesome. And I loved it. I was practicing latte art. I was learning how to dial in espresso. And if any of you are familiar with coffee, you know that that is a really fun part of coffee. So here you see my friend's latte art. And I'm going to keep that there for a minute. Now, at the beginning of the year, I was part-time at the church, and I sat through a staff review with Pastor Ricky. And on that review, there's a lot of just different questions that we walk through. And one of them was, what is your goal for the new year? What is one of your goals for the new year? And one of my goals was to get better at latte art. And he said, really? That's one of your goals? I said, yeah, I want to get better at latte art. My friends, I'm going to show you a couple of pictures of what they do. This is their beautiful latte art. You can keep going. Yeah, look at that. So beautiful. Look at those stacks. Now, in the coffee world, you count stacks, and you're like, man, stacks on stacks. They had a lot. This one is my friend Joy. She got a lot of stacks in there. It's beautiful. So these were my goals, right? I was like, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to make stacks. I want to do a swan. I'm so excited to be in coffee. And this is where I was at the beginning of the year. There's one picture of my latte art right there. I needed some help, okay? Those aren't stacks. That's just a swivel and some milk, okay? And I had goals. I was like, I need to get better. I want to be like Asher's, which is the first picture. I want to learn how to get better at this, right? Now, at the end of my staff review, Pastor Ricky, with a big smile, was so excited to share with me that the church wanted to bring me on to full time. And to a lot of people, that would be, woo, I'm so excited, full time at one place. I don't have to have one foot in and one foot out. But for me, I knew that that would mean no more young adults, no more friends, no more Bible studies while I was on the clock. Obviously, at church, we can do that, for Brave. But there was just this level of young adulthood that I was like, I've got to stay here. I've got to stay in this coffee world. But he was very excited to share with me that we were at a place where I could come on to full time and I would be able to fulfill the ministry that God had on my life. In that moment, there was a bunch of different doubts, questions, fears running through my mind. And I was staring, and I'm thinking at a million miles an hour at this point. And in that moment, I had to ask God, like, is this what you want for me? And I didn't know. I didn't know at that moment. So I had asked, Pastor Ricky, can I just have 3 days to pray? I need 3 days to pray. I need to hear from God on this because I know that saying yes to full-time ministry means more weight, more sacrifice, more energy, more time, less time at the coffee shop. And I knew that that was a huge sacrifice, and it sounds silly, but really, it was a big sacrifice that I knew I had to make. So I went for a couple of days to pray, and each morning, I just asked God, what do you want from me? What is it? I don't know. And so I reached out to some of my closest friends and trusted people that I knew would pray, and all of them just said, God's going to speak to you. And I'm like, can't you tell me? Can you ask him for me? I'm not getting anything. So during that time of prayer, I had in mind what I wanted God to speak. I had a couple of verses like, please talk about peace and protection and maybe coffee, if that's in the Bible anywhere, but just something, God. And so these are a couple of verses that I wanted him to speak. I wanted to hear verses like this. You will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. I wanted something just, God, I'm promising you this, Deanna. This next verse, I wanted to hear something like this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Or maybe even something like this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, or something like this. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. But I didn't hear any of those verses. I wanted something that I could cling to, and I said, God, you have to speak. You have to give me something. I cannot say yes to this without your word. I can't say yes to this without you speaking. Now, all these verses are true. All of them I'll stand behind. I know that they're God's promises, but these weren't the verses that he spoke to me. There was one verse that he spoke, and I knew clear as day that this is what he was speaking. Does anyone want to know what verse it was? Do you want to know? Okay. So I opened my Bible one day during those 3 days of prayer, and I said, God, I need you to show me. I need you to teach me. And I don't remember if it was just, voila, open the Bible, there it is. I don't think it was like that. I think it was through devotion time or, you know, just looking at verses that I had saved. But the minute I read this verse, I knew, okay, the answer is yes. Bye-bye coffee. Bye-bye young adulthood. Not really, though. But here's the clarity. Here's the verse he spoke. He says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And I knew in that moment I was holding on to what I wanted, my own desires, my own plans, my own dreams. How will I ever find a husband if I'm not in the open in a coffee shop, Lord? They all come here. People who love you are here. And I had to just realize, Deanna, this isn't about you. This isn't about you. There's another side to this. And saying yes to full-time ministry meant saying yes to being able to invest in people, to really give my heart to kids, and to be able to know, God, what are you speaking to the next generation? What do you really want for these kids? Because they're world changers, and your kids are going to change this world. I believe it. So saying yes to full-time ministry meant saying no to a lot of things, and I had to realize, and I wrestled. I'm a wrestler. I really am. I wrestled, and I didn't want to lose my life. I didn't want to have to give it all up, but I knew that God was speaking to me. Deanna, on the other side of this is reward, and it's not human reward. It's not what you would imagine, but it's heavenly reward, and I think, oh, okay, amen. Hallelujah. I think what I had to realize was it wasn't about gaining more knowledge of latte art or sitting around with people my age and twiddling our thumbs, talking about our days. I had to realize that what God was asking of me was to lose my life, to lose my own desires, to stop hanging on. And I think the truth is, the reason I struggled, I think, with this message so much is because surrender is something I'm going to learn for the rest of my life. And even yesterday as I was praying, I'm like, Lord, I haven't even mastered surrender. I haven't even mastered what it means to surrender, but I don't think that's what matters. I think what matters is just those small yeses. When no one sees, when no one knows, when other people don't applaud you for it, it's those small yeses that you say alone, oftentimes with tears in your eyes. God, why? But yes. Why? But yes, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to choose to lose my life. I'm going to give it up for you because I know on the other side of it, I find true life. Now I had to realize that his way for me was so much better than my own. I'm very creative in planning and I can try and come up with my own plan and oftentimes it doesn't work out as I want it. But I've learned that submitting my plans and my ways to the Lord is always better. And it reminds me of a passage in Isaiah 55. It says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than yours. What God's saying here is he sees it all. He sees everything. He knows that his plan is better, and he's God, so he can say that. My thoughts aren't your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than earth, so are his thoughts and ways so much higher than our own. And I think the message today, to be a disciple, just means to surrender your whole life, to give it all up, to say, I'm not going to have reservations, and even just be honest about what they are. Lord, I want to work at this coffee shop. I want to be around young adults. I know, Deanna, I know you. You're still going to see your friends. You'll have 2 days off. You'll go to coffee shops. Your friends will let you practice latte art when you get there. Happened yesterday. Getting better. Not really. But the beautiful exchange here is that we give up our way. We give up our plans and our desires. and find on the other side that his are so much better. And even looking back this year, the past couple of months, I see how much it makes more sense to say yes to full-time ministry and yes to what he wanted over what I wanted, over my own desires. And without getting into details, I see how his way for me was so much better than my own. And I'm constantly reminded that week after week, your way is so much better than mine. But surrender is not easy. Just as we don't wake up each day saying, I hope to lose, we also struggle waking up each day just saying, God, I surrender my life to you. You can have it all. That's not easy because it means no to what we want and yes to what he does. But as we know him and as we get to walk with him and be his disciple, we learn that the things that he wants for us are so much better, so much greater than our own. And what happens is his desires become ours as we get to know him. His heart becomes our heart. He loves children and he loves youth. And those are the two things that he said, Deanna, I want you to focus on. I've had dreams about gathering youth together. I've had dreams about what it means to just engage kids with who God is. And I know that those things are written on my heart, and I know that those things are what he's called me to, but it means that I say no to going to Tampa on a Friday night when all my friends are there. It means saying no when all my friends are doing something and saying yes to the next generation. It means saying yes to the things of God. And that's not easy, but it's worth it, because at the end of this, we'll be in heaven and we'll be so thankful that we said yes to what he wanted. I think the truth is I don't want to look back and sit in heaven and say, man, I'm so glad I said yes to that coffee job. It was great and it was fun and it was so much fun. But I'll look back and say, I'm so glad I said yes to Aiden and yes to Caleb and yes to Owen. And those are the kids that are brave kids, just some of them. I'm so glad that I said yes to Helena and Haley. And I think if we could be honest at the end of our lives, we'll be so glad that we said yes to things that were eternal and no to things that were temporary. Notes on your seats, and there's a fill in the blank. And if I could give you one question that I want you to leave here with, that I think to be a disciple means to ask each day. I asked it to the Lord yesterday. I had a lot to do, but I said, God, what do you want me to surrender? What do you want me to do? What is it that you want from me? Because on the other side of that, you have something for me. We say yes to God and we give up, but there's always something that he has that's better for us. What do you want me to surrender? Imagine what it would be like if you woke up each morning and you said, God, what do you want me to surrender? What is it that I've been holding on to? What do I need to lose? What do I need to give up? To lose your life is to surrender to the life that he has for you. To lose our plans is to surrender to the plans that he has for us. Now we're going to read the last verse from this passage, the verse 26. And it says, what good, Jesus asks them. I love the questions he asks. He says, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? What good will it be to gain the whole world, to gain everything you want, to gain every dream you have, yet forfeit your soul? What good would it be? That's how he concludes that. But I think Jesus is saying, there's nothing in this world that's worth it. There's nothing worth your soul. In verse 25, there's a challenge, but there's a promise. We'll go back to verse 25. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. That's the challenge, right? But whoever loses their life for me will find it. There's promise in this. If you give up your life, if you lose it all, if you say, God, you can have it all, you'll find true life. And for those in here that have said yes to Jesus and are following him daily, you know what that looks like. You know what it means to lose it all, to say, God, I'm not going to think about what I need or what I want, but I'm going to think of the things that you want. To lose everything, you're going to find it. Now, Jesus knew what it meant to lose his life. He knew what it meant to surrender, but he struggled with it. And I think it's important to know that even Jesus was wrestling with surrender. This is before he goes to the cross and he's in a garden. And it says in Luke 22, verse 39 through 45, then accompanied by his disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual, so he was there a lot, to the Mount of Olives, where he told them, pray that you will not give into temptation. He walked away about a stone throw, and he sat down and prayed. This is right before he goes to the cross. He says, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. The next verse talks about just how much anguish he was in. Then the angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him, which is true. When we pray, we are strengthened. Amen. Strengthened him, and he prayed more fervently, and he was in such great agony of spirit that his sweat fell off the ground like drops of blood. Jesus knew what it meant to say, God, I don't want this. Take it. Take it from me. Take this cup of suffering from me. But he says, the last line, he says, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. I think the truth is we can be so honest with God. God, I don't want this. I didn't ask for this. You chose me. I said yes long ago, but man, I didn't think it was going to be this hard. Getting all that truth out is so important. He knows it's there. Tell him. But I think the power is ending in this way. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Calling it out as it is. God, this is hard for me. This is a sacrifice. I don't want to lose this. I want to hold on to this. But yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Now, he knew that losing his life would mean people coming to know him and offering them salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, which led to eternal life. Jesus knew what it meant to lose his life. And what I love about him is that he didn't just ask his disciples to lose their life and he didn't do it. He said, I'm gonna do it and you'll see. I want you to lose your life too. Now, he definitely had the hardest of loss because he went to a cross, right? Died a sinner's death and was completely free from sin for us. And he rose 3 days later, and now he asks of us, lose your life. Lose your own desires. Lose your own plans. Give them to me. Let him give you desires. Let him give you plans. Let him give you dreams. On the other side of this, we'll be so glad when we're able to say that we said yes to the things of him. That we said no to the things of our own. To our own desires. And I don't know if it ever gets easier saying no to the things that we want and surrendering, but I know that the beauty in surrender is we can look back and see how he's blessed us and taken care of us and given us peace and joy and hope. On the other side of surrender, there's always a blessing from him. We don't surrender for that. We surrender out of obedience, but we know that there's promise on the other side of surrender, because we find true life. He says, if you give it up for my sake, you'll find it. If you give your life for my sake, you'll find it. Now, we have a couple minutes left, and I want to pray with two groups of people. But in this moment, I want us just to have a time where we can ask God, what do you want me to surrender? What is it that I've been holding on to? I think the honest truth is you all know what that is. You all know what you've been holding on to. And maybe you'll say, Deanna, I did it yesterday. I surrendered. Good for you. That's awesome. That's great if you've done it. And don't feel bad if there isn't anything. But I think when we say yes to Jesus, and I know that as we say yes to him, we're always going to have to surrender. Next year, I'll have to surrender something else. Next week, tomorrow, today. Living a life of a disciple means to give up your life, to lose it every single day, to say no to the things that are temporary and to say yes to the things that are eternal. Now, the truth is, not all of us will have my experience where I knew God was telling me, quit that job, full-time ministry. And it was a gradual transition. I left my full-time job at a spa to move to Odessa about 2 years ago. I didn't know what that would look like. I just knew I was going to nanny and I was going to help serve at the church with whatever needed to be done. But after that, after I said yes, I found more things that needed help and more things that God was calling me to and less things that I was having for myself. To be a disciple means to be selfless and to say yes to him and no to your own.